sanctuary. Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called, ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You take the insert for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost and chant the introit.
Amen. may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please turn in the front of your hymnals to Psalm 5. We chant responsively by whole verse, verses 1 through 8.
Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Prepare a sacrifice for you and watch.
For you are my God, my sin, forgiveness. Be loyal after you.
The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evil.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son.
For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia in verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus: God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. When the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall not enter it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess the Nicene Creed, page 206.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe
the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you page through the Gospel of Luke, you will find the people Jesus spoke to described in many ways. Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law, all in the synagogue, disciples, the 12, the 72, or sometimes simply the crowd. All of these terms characterize people as part of a larger general group. In the gospel reading today, Jesus addresses a group, but one characterized in specific individual terms about how they see themselves and how they see others. Our text says, "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt." The audience then is people who think they are justified by their own works, people who despise other people because they miss the mark. Jesus tells this parable to a proud, self-righteous group of people in order to make a very simple point. God exalts the humble. And not only does God exalt the humble, but men who exalt themselves will see humility. Jesus continues, "Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Jesus tells this parable in such a way that the contrasts are quite evident. Only two men went up to the temple to pray. The hearts of each would be laid bare. They can't be hidden in a crowd. Pharisees were quite pious in their religious practices, while tax collectors were despised as sinners because they were known to deal unfairly with the people. The location of the two men in relation to the temple also draws a contrast. The Pharisee stood by himself in such a way that he would have been visible to other people, while the tax collector was standing far off as a reject of society, with faith enough to come to the temple at time of sacrifice to pray for atonement, but so weighed down by his sin that he could hardly walk another step closer. We again see contrast between the Pharisee and the tax collector when it comes to what they were praying. The prayer of the Pharisee was a prayer of thanksgiving for himself, full of eyes. I this, I that. The Pharisee was thanking God for himself and his own works, especially when compared to that sinful tax collector over there. But the prayer of the tax collector was a petition to God for mercy. The eyes of the two men reveal where each placed their faith. The Pharisee's eyes were pointed within and without, looking to his own works in comparison to the works of other men for his justification. The Pharisee was one of those spoken about in Proverbs. "There are those who are clean in their own eyes, but are not washed of their filth." On the other hand, however much the tax collector wanted to point his eyes upward, he couldn't even lift his eyes to God in heaven because of the guilt of his sin. His penitence was a reflection of the Psalm of David addressing God, where it says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." The tax collector's humble posture shows he knew knowledge of sin and justification comes from God alone. God exalts the humble. How about you? Have you ever thought to yourself, "I'm a pretty good person. I do the right thing, or at least try to. That ought to count for something." Or have you ever thanked God you're not like someone else because of their sin? Sin that maybe is very public. Everybody knows. Do you look with disdain and resentment upon others who don't give time and money to the church like you do? Or do you seek God's grace in humility and with charity toward others? The hearing of this parable should bring repentance to all who hear it. If we look at what we do or don't do and think that justifies us before God, we're not properly understanding the Word of God. The Word of God says our works are like filthy, menstruous rags. This word causes us to despair of ourselves and to look to the works of another, the work of Christ, the only man who never sinned, and the one true God who justifies sinners by taking away the guilt and shame of sin. Only after we are justified do our good works become sanctified. It's good to do the right thing. It's good to have a well-ordered life according to God's word. And it's right to give time and money in service of the church. But it doesn't earn even a little something in the sight of God. If you thought so even a little bit, God in His mercy forgives your sin for the sake of Christ. If you thank God you're not like other people and looked with disdain and resentment upon others, God looks upon you in mercy and forgives you because of the blood of Jesus. God justifies sinners who pray for mercy. The tax collector's petition to God was just that, a simple plea for mercy. So distraught by sin, he could only beat his breast and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." God exalts the humble. The Pharisee looked like he was doing all the right things outwardly, but inwardly he was unclean because his faith wasn't toward God. Unless he repented, his humility came in death when his soul was cast into hell. The same judgment awaits all who trust in themselves and not in God. But the tax collector was looking to another for the works for the works of another for his justification. When the tax collector prayed for mercy, he was praying for God to be his justification. The tax collector was praying for his sin to be propitiated, for his sin to be atoned for by God. Looking to your own works for justification is an exercise in futility. But when you look to the work of Christ for you on the cross, you see exaltation in humility. The sin of the tax collector and your sin is atoned for by the blood of Christ. the once and for all atoning sacrifice for sin. In the second chapter of Hebrews, we read Jesus became a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Jesus humbled himself to die for your sins and did not exalt himself. But as Apostle Paul writes, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. God exalts the humble. All who are humbled to turn from their own works and believe on the name of Jesus are exalted in him. Jesus exalts the humble and helpless by touching them with water and word and baptism. There is hardly anyone more humble and helpless than an infant, a little baby. Our text continues. Now they were bringing even infants to him, that is Jesus, that he might touch them. Jesus' touch is healing. When Jesus touches someone, there is revitalization, life, new creation. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus uses touch to heal a leper, to raise the widow's son at Nain, and to heal the ear of the high priest's servant. In chapter 6, all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. So here, when Jesus touches these little infants, his touch brings life, new creation, because they have been in contact with God himself. In baptism, you were touched by Jesus in his name, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As the Large Catechism teaches us, to be baptized in God's name is to be baptized not by men, but by God himself. The pastor speaks the word of God and applies water, but it is God himself doing the baptizing. In baptism, Jesus touched you and incorporated you into his own body. This is what he is doing when he touches the little babies brought to him. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Even the disciples at first misunderstood for whom is the kingdom of God, and had to be corrected by Jesus. Let any who would now hinder infants from coming to the healing touch of Jesus in baptism be corrected by this very same word. In his sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter says, "The promise is for you and for your children." Regardless of age, all who believe they have the healing touch of Jesus in their baptism are healed and will receive eternal salvation. Infants, babies, personify the humility and helplessness of those in the kingdom of God. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." The tax collector received the kingdom of God like a child. He went down to his house justified in the sight of God because his prayer for mercy recognized his helplessness, his inability to justify himself. Sinners simply receive God's mercy for the sake of the atoning sacrifice. God exalts the humble. God's gift to the humble is resurrection to eternal life. Exaltation in Christ. We prayed in the collect of the day for God to give us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except by the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ. as those humbled by God's word, we give thanks to him. He has answered our prayer and exalts us in his mercy through the acceptable offering of the blood of Jesus. To him be all exaltation, honor, and glory, now and forever. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
The prayer of the church, we stand to pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Almighty God and Father, we come to you at the gracious invitation of your Son. May we receive your gifts as little children, that no rebuke of our sinful flesh, the work of the devil, would deter us from turning to you in reverence and humility. Grant us humility to pray, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, in your mercy, be merciful to your church here and in every place. Bless all the work of Trinity Lutheran Church in this place and in this community. Bless the work of Pastor James Sharp and his wife Angela as they serve with mercy in Uruguay. Grant, O Lord, that the devil, the world, and our flesh would not deter us from preaching repentance and faith and proclaiming to all the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. As your Son welcomed infants, give us a deep care for children entrusted to us, that we would defend their lives, even before birth. Instill in parents a desire and commitment to bring their children to Jesus. In our school, Sunday school, Bible classes, early child care, youth Bible classes, and campus ministry, and all that is taught here, preserve us in our faith. And teach us humility to receive the kingdom of God as a little child, as we daily live our vocational lives. This week, bless those who celebrate their birthday and their baptism. Tracy Lewis, Karen Rohde, Bob Lee, Todd Kennard, Lynn Sherman, and Annabelle Harper, Diana Newman, and Seth Lemke. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you do not delight in wickedness or the boastful to stand before you. Give us leaders in the civil realm and in all nations in wisdom to govern according to your will, and keep them mindful of their duties diligence. Bless police and firefighters who defend us, and bless Eli Wiley, Courtney Tate, Danny Green, and Mike Gobble, Emily Shelton, Alex Laffin, and Ricardo Matanga, who serve in the military. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you for the rain, O Lord, and we ask that you provide rain in the midst of drought conditions for the crops of the earth, and be with those any kind of danger from the storms these past weeks. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, we ask that you comfort the family of Betty Standifer, the sister of Raymond Sendelbach, at her death. Now that you've received her to yourself in heaven, comfort all the family with Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Lord, in your mercy. God, you deliver our souls from death and our feet from falling. Save us from despair and give us a confident hope in you. Give aid to everyone who is in need of healing and strength. Lupe Sepulveda, Tim Anderson and Scott Miller, Jeannie Brinketter, Candy Darmody and Lindsay Shem, Kay Coffey, Jay Gallagher, and all in need of healing and strength, Lord, in your mercy. Finally, grant that all who come to the holy altar this day, receiving the very body and blood of Jesus, would do so in repentance and faith to their abundant blessing. And bring us into your kingdom as your beloved children. Grant, Lord Jesus Christ, that you watch over Chris and Becky Tomlinson and their medical issues, and grant healing strength to all who are in need of healing. We pray these things to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As we gather the offerings, please take the pad at the end of the pew, tear off the sheet to fill out, and hand it to the folks next to you. completed sheets can be placed in the basket in the narthex as you depart. We gather the offerings. You may be seated.
Service of Sacrament, page 208, we stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks for grace.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love. Show to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, judgments, you condemn the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly bar them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promise salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Christ on the night when he was betrayed took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Christ, have mercy on us.
By the blood of Christ, strengthen and preserve you.
true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you.
us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.